You're tuned in to Global Waters Radio, a podcast series produced by the Water Team at the U.S. Agency for International Development. The series offers listeners insights from USAID officials, development partners, thought leaders, and experts from across the water sector as they discuss current USAID water programming and cutting-edge research from around the world. Today on the podcast, we're speaking with USAID Global Water Coordinator Christian Holmes. Chris is Deputy Assistant Administrator in the agency's Bureau for Economic Growth, Education, and Environment, where he's responsible for overseeing USAID's global water portfolio. Chris has also held high-ranking positions with the USAID Trade and Development Agency, the U.S. State Department, USAID's Office of U.S. Foreign Disaster Assistance, and the Environmental Protection Agency. He's also served in the U.S. Army as Second Lieutenant, Civil Affairs, where he received the U.S. Army Soldier's Medal for Heroism. Today, Chris shares his insights about the ways improved water supply, sanitation, and hygiene help advance economic development and gender equity. Well, Chris, as you know, water is a key driver of economic development around the world, and World Water Day's 2016 theme, Water and Jobs, has reflected that. Can you talk about the importance of water and wash in this context and discuss some of the ways water sector development contributes to improved public health and livelihoods?
Thanks very much. You know, I think when you think about water and jobs, you have to look at really the continuum of human development. And, you know, one obviously critical aspect of that is employment. But you really can't, you know, be adequately employed unless you begin your life so that you are healthy and you have an opportunity to learn and compete. And I think one of the most important things that water programs do, and WASH programs in particular, is the way in which they're able to help reduce diarrheal disease amongst young children in the first 2 years of life, ranging from all the way of helping children stay alive who suffer from diarrheal disease to at the same time having superb WASH programs, water and sanitation programs, that really reduce, if not eliminate, the prospect of stunting. Because as you know, small children that have up to 6 severe cases of diarrhea, often due to waterborne disease, face the prospect of physical or cognitive stunting or both. And, you know, that's just a terrible fate to know that just because of these 6 cases of severe diarrhea while you're such a young child, that your entire life is adversely affected in that way. And then I think the importance of water programs occur again later on in childhood, particularly in school, where it's so essential to have in schools a supply of clean water, you know, adequate sanitation for young women, not only that, but also menstrual management of facilities. And when that happens, when those services are provided, then children stay in school. That critical intervention, again, being such a simple intervention, can make, you know, a huge difference, if not the difference, in one's development. And then moving along in one's growth, of course, as one gets older, the opportunity to continue one's education and one's choice without being forced to spend one's life, you know, in search of water and adequate sanitation. And in so many places we work, particularly in Africa, young women and men spend hours and hours every day just in search of water, which takes them away from any other activity that might be better for them and their communities and their futures. So we have a whole wide range of programs that deal along this continuum. For example, in the WASH in schools, there's a program with the acronym known as SPLASH, which has been enormously successful in enabling young girls and boys to stay in school, and it's really been essential in their development. And then later on, when people get to the work stage, we have programs that basically support the creation of small businesses to provide water supply services and sanitation services to communities. We recently have been looking at ways to really expand opportunities in the intersection between water and food production. The United States government, USAID, along with the government of Sweden and the government of the Netherlands, formed about 3 years ago a partnership which we named Securing Water for Food. And basically the idea behind that partnership was, how do you increase food production or at least maintain it in areas which are very, very difficult in which to grow food, where there is a lack of water, and where the environment, you know, can be very inhospitable, as reflected by such conditions as land that's highly saline in content. We've reached across the world, you know, to seek out great ideas, and that's resulted in such progress as new approaches to drip irrigation, new crops that can grow in highly saline conditions. And we even went out on a global challenge asking the world for a new approach to be able to come up with small-scale desalinization for brackish water, but to do it in such a way that you could use solar power and to do it at the same cost that you'd be using hydrocarbon as a source of energy for the desalinization. So water programs can be, you know, very strategic and very tactical in terms of assisting people at different points in their lives in order to succeed and stay healthy.
And Chris, when we're talking about USAID programs in agriculture or other areas of the water sector, we know fostering gender equity is a strategic priority for the agency. Can you discuss how USAID's efforts to extend WASH coverage complement women's and girls' empowerment?
I can. You know, this is a really critical field, and it, in some ways it really relates to the question we talked about earlier in terms of water and jobs, and really, once again, understanding the continuum of opportunity for young women and girls. And one of the things we've learned that's really, really important is you have to have the right tools to be able to mainstream, you know, gender and opportunities for women in water supply and sanitation services. We've had this large project in Africa called the Suwasa Project. And what we've been looking at is how do you really engage women in points of great leadership in organizations that have kind of outsized impact that can influence large numbers of people. In many cases, those organizations in Africa are the larger utilities, the water utilities, because they have huge reach, not just in urban areas, but in the peri-urban areas surrounding major cities. And in this program, what we've targeted on is working with utilities to increase the utilities using and hiring women in senior positions of leadership, and at the same time, increasing the understanding of utilities as to the impact of their work on women. So I think, you know, finding the right points of influence, coming up with the right tools, the right indexes, it all, you know, makes a huge difference over the long term to go beyond the desirable concept of really engaging women to the specifics of engaging women in different aspects of water and different aspects of food production.
Well, thanks so much, Chris. We're out of time for today, but want to encourage our listeners to stay tuned for future podcasts from Chris on Global Waters Radio, where he'll be sharing his thoughts on a number of other water-related subjects. And if you have any topics you'd like to see covered in an upcoming podcast, you can easily contact us at waterteam@usaid.gov. This is Global Waters Radio.